You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.
Fellow Bible believers, you're tuned in on a salvation broadcast. It's our desire to go to the Word of God and word for word reveal exactly what the Bible says about salvation. There's many notions and ideas and thoughts about salvation. There's many different programs and plans that are used, many things that are said about salvation. But after all is said and done, the bottom line is we must answer properly the question, what must I do to be saved? In the book of Acts chapter 2, the question was asked after the people were pricked in their hearts because of strong Bible preaching, what the world needs today. And after that strong Bible preaching, the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And in Acts chapter 2, we try to give word for word, syllable by syllable, letter by letter, exactly what the Holy Spirit inspired. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer is found in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 16, after that earthquake, after Paul and Silas had been beaten and thrown into the inner part of the prison, and the doors were opened, the jailer came out, influenced by the singing and the worshiping which he witnessed on the part of Paul and Silas. And we have this powerful question in Acts 16. He said, what must I do to be saved? In past broadcasts, we've dealt with the answer, the biblical answer, word for word. The biblical answer to these questions, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then, Acts chapter 16, what must I do to be saved? In Acts chapter 9, the question was asked again, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? This was after Saul of Tarsus genuinely thought that he should put the New Testament Church of Christ out of business, that he should destroy Christians, and he learned that he was fighting against Christ. And on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Many people say he was saved right then and there, but he was not. He was struck blind. God doesn't save a man and strike him blind at the same time. He said there, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, go into the city, and it'll be told you what you must do. The Lord then appeared to Ananias, the reluctant evangelist, who was afraid to go at first. But God encouraged Ananias, and Ananias went to Saul, who had been praying, and he was blind for 3 days. And the Bible says in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said, and now, brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Quote, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. End of quote, quoting from the King James Bible. And so on this salvation broadcast, we want to answer, according to the exact words of the Holy Spirit, the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? We want to answer, according to the exact words of God, this question, what must I do to be saved? With the exact words of the Bible, we want to answer this question asked in Acts 9, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so the question is, have you been saved? You're saved not because you think you're saved, not because you feel saved, not because you've had some kind of a feeling. But my friends, you feel good when you know you're saved, and you know you're saved when you've done what God has told you to do. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, the Bible says, the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him, end of quote. And read Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and the Bible says, how you receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's exciting. We're still rejoicing about the wonderful resurrection of Jesus that we honored and celebrated a couple of weeks past. And we're thankful for everything that happened because Jesus arose from the grave. Some did not get that quotation from that book, National Sunday Law, which should be used in a birdcage, because it deprives us of worshiping under God's power and God's recommendation on the first day of the week. The statement is made three lines up from verse 47 from chapter, or page 47, quote, Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. And so how could anyone rob us of the glorious fellowship of honoring Jesus and His resurrection on the first day of the week? It's not the mark of the beast. It's the mark of the Holy Spirit. It's the mark of God. It's the mark of heaven. It's the mark of fulfillment to prophecy. And salvation was made available through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we go through the book of Acts, over and over and over again, we have examples of conversion. Many people say, well, these examples were for the Jews. But Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, after we have those words, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, and it dispels that argument forever, that this simply applied to the Jews, quote, for this promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so we learn how to be saved by grace through faith in Acts chapter 2. We learn how to be saved by the grace of God in Acts chapter 9. We learn how to be redeemed by the wonderful grace and mercy of Almighty God in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Now in the book of Acts, in the Bible, and on this broadcast, I'm reading from the King James Bible. In this chapter, there are three examples of conversion. We need to go to the Bible and find out exactly what the Bible says someone must do to be saved. We have been led down a blind alley today, and things that sound good are not always good. What is good in the ears of God is to hear word for word His exact inspired scriptures proclaimed, and we don't want to add to them or take away from them. Many things have been added. The mourner's bench was added, but it does not have any precedent in the book of Acts. The anxious seat was added, but there's no example of that in the book of Acts. The sinner's prayer was added, and actually the four spiritual laws in the sinner's prayer was actually patented back in the 1950s, and an exact prayer was given to people that were desiring to be saved. But my friends, that's not what they did in Acts 2. That's not the example which we have in Acts chapter 9. There was no sinner's prayer in any one of these conversion experiences in the book of Acts. There was actually, as we said, the patent prayer that said people desiring to see Jesus, they must follow the four spiritual laws, and it's followed by the patent prayer, quote, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. And this patented four principles of salvation and prayer has been circulated in tract form by the billions. But my friends, it's not found in Acts 2 where we have that account of conversion. It's not found in Acts 16 where we have the conversion of the jailer. It's not found in Acts chapter 8. It's not found in Acts chapter 9 where the question was asked, what would you have me to do? And so if the Bible doesn't teach that we pray through to be saved, if it doesn't teach that we go to the altar to be saved, if nowhere in all of the conversions in Acts did any inspired person ever suggest praying the sinner's prayer to be saved, then what must I do to be saved? The answer is clear, it's plain, and we've been giving you book, chapter, and verse in this series on salvation. The very truth of God is becoming more and more controversial. Someone is saying, are you saying you're right and everyone else is wrong? No, I'm not saying I'm right, Shirley, and everybody else is wrong. I'm saying we're all wrong. We're all wrong until we follow the exact plan of God. I'm not inviting you to me. I'm not inviting you to my church. I don't have a church of my own. The Lord owns the church. It belongs to Him. It wears His name. And I'm inviting you to go to the Scriptures and on your own study the Scriptures and accept the plain truth of what it says about salvation all through the book of Acts. Someone says, why do you keep sharing with us and why do you keep talking about the book of Acts? It's because The plan of salvation wasn't ready to be proclaimed in all of its fullness until the Holy Spirit came in the second chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, prior to Pentecost and the descent of the Spirit, the disciples were inquisitive about what was going to happen and the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. And the disciples said, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know. God will take care of that. You'll receive power. After that, the Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was preparing. He was laying the background. Then he died for the sins of the world, was buried, and arose again. There's no salvation on the terms of the gospel until the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. There's no salvation through the blood of Jesus until Jesus' blood was shed and the Holy Spirit came. And so don't use the thief on the cross as an example, because he lived and died under the old dispensation prior to the resurrection of Jesus, before the descent of the Holy Spirit, before salvation was preached first in all of its fullness. This is all in the Bible, Bible friends. And so get into the Bible. No wonder the Scripture says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." We have a biblical ignorance that goes across not only America, but is spreading around the world. And people are blindly accepting things that sound good, blindly accepting things that thousands of people are doing. And the way of righteousness is even being condemned today. People will condemn you for simply giving word for word what the Bible plainly says about salvation. As we look to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we have something that we have nowhere else, to my knowledge, in the entire book of conversions, which is the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are biographies of the life of Christ. The epistles were not written to save people. Not one of them was written to save people. Ephesians was written to saints. Colossians was written to saints. But Acts gives us clear-cut, named, book, chapter, and verse-dated examples of people being saved. And here's where we must go to find out the biblical plan of salvation. We come to another powerful chapter here in the life of the apostles and the early Christians here in the book of Acts. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Look at Acts 8:4. "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Are we too comfortable today to carry out the Great Commission? Are we too affluent to carry out the Great Commission? Is it going to take a persecution to get the church out, to get them to spreading the gospel? My, we're going to have to be serious about the gospel, serious about Christ, serious about the biblical plan of salvation, serious about being all that God would have us to be. And then the Bible teaches that Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. We're going to continue this in our next broadcast. But as we said, this is a salvation broadcast, and we want to give you word for word what the Bible says. And so read Acts 2, read Acts 8, read Acts 9, read Acts 10, 22, and 16, and 19. Find out exactly what God's Word says we must do to be saved. Tune in for our next Bible broadcast on salvation. Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, for the gospel, for the plan of salvation. Thank you for the privilege of preaching through Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more heaven high, hell deep, and worldwide shotgun barrel straight preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966, or call 302-542-3744.